Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Roots Reggae Reasoning Sessions. I am one of your hosts, Roski Mascani, and our other two hosts is Jinjay Dennis and Mashariki Ramey. This evening, we have a guest, and I'm going to let Mashariki introduce her. And before we do that, I want to just kind of bring everybody up to where we are now. We just started a few months ago. So I'm going to show everybody our previous shows that we did. This is show number 4. So let me show everybody the previous show. So bear with me, please. Okay, this is our YouTube channel, and we have many videos. I'm talking about just massively amount of videos. So this was our first one, show right here. This was our first show with artist Klata Bumbo. And he's a very promising artist. He's back east, and he's from Jamaica. And if you look him up, we did two other, well, at least one other video with him. And his music is excellent. So you can check that out on our YouTube channel. Let me scroll to the next one. Okay. So take a look. We have more videos than subscribers. So we have 646 videos.
Oh,
I mean, 666 videos. So it's plenty to choose from. Lots of material. We are an educational-based organization, online organization. So that was the first show. I'm going to scroll to the second one. And it was the Reggae Beach Blast. Right here. That was back in 1983. We had Lester Farai. He was with the band that backed Ika Mouse back then. We had Mashariki, and Jinjay was a part of that. And so that was a real good show. And let's go to our last show that we did with Barbara Barabino. And there it is. It's three of them. Three shows, folks.
Yes, it was.
Well, not three shows, but three parts.
Three parts.
It was our longest podcast we ever did.
Yeah.
So that was a good one. So everyone can go and check that out. We're doing it, and we're expecting way more than this. So that's
our. Well, it can only grow from here.
That's right. That's our brief history. So I'm gonna turn it over to Mashariki. Mashariki, take over, please.
Greetings, everyone. This is another beautiful day in sunny Southern California, and we have the pleasure today of speaking with Marjel McFadden, promoter, manager, businesswoman that has been in the business, the reggae business, for 30 years now, which is really an incredible task. I think, you know, to be in any business these days is hard enough. But to be in the reggae business and to be a woman and to be existing for 3 decades, that is a pretty incredible feat. Very, very incredible. And thank you so much for being with us today. And, you know, because we have so much to discuss with you, would you share with us, how did you first get started, interested, and being a part of reggae music?
I first got interested in reggae music early on in my college. I started college in 1987. I think Catherine and I went to Bob Marley Day in 1988, 1989. I'm remembering in 1989, we saw Black Uhuru perform at that Bob Marley Day. And it was during those, you know, beginning first exposures to reggae that I really fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that story becomes part of my story moving forward. I learned more about Black Uhuru. I ended up meeting Garth Dennis. I ended up working with his children and being friends with his wife. And, you know, 30 years later, that whole story really developed into a lot of cool relationships and a lot of trips to Jamaica. And those early exposures to reggae were what really turned me onto it and made me want to be a part of it. And when I met my friend Doc Eye from Doc Eye and the Detour Posse, he needed someone to help him kind of organize the business of their band. Their band was starting out, They needed someone to help them book shows. They needed someone to help them write a bio. Those days, we didn't even really have websites. They were just thinking about building a website. It was like all this was brand new. And I helped out with that. And through doing that, I ended up starting a business. We started Paraiso Productions in 1997, 1998. And I started booking artists from them. I started booking Detour Posse. That was the beginning. Oh, there's Garth Dennis. That's the first artist that I saw in Long Beach that really helped to make me love reggae music when he was singing with Black Uhuru. And he's wearing a Blaze Mob shirt.
Was your
That's awesome.
background in education something that helped to mold you into being the promoter manager that you are now?
I'm not sure if it was my background in education, but I'll say that my background in working with kids in Long Beach helped to give me a sense of diversity in the community, and my background education actually working more with corporations or working with some big businesses is what helped me to learn how to organize the business and the paperwork and the negotiating things I needed to negotiate for contracts or for performances. I learned those skills through working at some corporate jobs.
So you're saying that that really did give you the foundation that you needed in order to look at a group and know what they need, even though you may not have been in that group or that wasn't your background from the beginning. That was really
Or
good.
even though I didn't know how to sing a note and I didn't play an instrument, I didn't have any involvement in music that way, but I had some involvement with business, so I kind of had an understanding of what organization needed to come to a business.
The very first act that you started working with in a business perspective, who was that?
Doc I and the Detour Posse.
Did they come to you or you came to them or it just was a
They definitely came to me saying like, hey, we need some help. The first thing was, I think, sending an email to somebody. Could you send an email for us? And that's how it all started. I sent an email, I booked a show, and then, I realized I could make a little money doing that. And I could also, go to the show and have fun. And all those things were appealing to me.
And doing so, what are some of the other acts that you've worked with over the years?
I didn't print out my list that I think you have
I
in front
do.
of you,
Okay,
so
I
help
do.
me
So
out if I miss somebody.
I'll just ask a question and you tell me.
How about that? Okay, cool.
Let's start with Bushman.
All right. So I met Bushman in the early 2000s. I met him at
Bushy.
Barbara Barbino's Bob Marley days. He was an artist that was performing on that show, and he was in need of a studio where he could rehearse with his band while they were on tour, and he needed a studio that could open at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I was able to figure that out for him and get him in a studio with his band in the morning so they could perform before their early slot at Bob Marley Day. And through that, helping him just randomly, we became friends. And there he is. There's Bushy. In 2008, I worked with him putting some songs together, and we produced an album that's called Get It In Your Mind. It's got 14 songs, and it's a really good album that I'm very proud of. I have enjoyed working with Bushman. We've done a lot of shows, we've done a lot of tours. I have helped him promote other albums, and we're still working together now. He's an internationally acclaimed artist, so he goes everywhere, all over the earth.
Let me see, Rasha Key, do we have his music keyed up? So we'll take a little listen to Bushman's music. I know that when we say reggae music, there isn't just like one name fits the whole of all reggae. There's different genres of reggae music, right? What would you say
Absolutely.
Bushman's
Absolutely.
music would be considered in reggae?
He's a roots and culture artist. He's definitely a singer. Even though he does do some dance hall based songs, he's a singer and he does roots and culture music. He only sings about positive things. This particular song that is called Call on Jah, featuring Prince Jabba, was a song that I'm super proud of because it's on the Get It In Your Mind album, and it was recorded and written in my kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Give thanks and praise to the Creator. Let us tell Him all our troubles and life will be greater. Well, there's no one to turn to, and your back against the wall. Call on Jaja. Give thanks and praise.
Thank you. That's a really good song.
That is a good song, and you know, I have to say he's an artist that I didn't know a lot about, but once I started listening to his music and his lyrics, I fell in love with it. I'm like, how can I incorporate that in something else, you know?
Well, we could also have Bushman on this show. He could be on this show later. He'd be a great guest.
That would be
He's got a lot to talk about. He likes to call what he does edutainment. He will get on stage and he will talk to people. And he will educate people about things that he thinks are very, very important. One of them being his ITAL diet. He's vegan and he wants everyone to eat a clean diet and be healthy. And he talks about that a lot in his performances. Mm-hmm. And he calls it edutainment. Sometimes people say Bushman talks too much and they want him to sing more. But he incorporates both in his performance. And it's really, really positive.
Well, I know his lyrics are very positive. So that means he has more to share than just a performance.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And if it wasn't for the love of my mama and my dad, I wouldn't be here giving that love away.
Yeah. Oh.
And if it wasn't for the love of my mama and my dad, I wouldn't be here giving that love to my child. And if
that's beautiful too.
Yes.
How did you work with and how did you enjoy working with Garth Dennis?
Well, I love working with Garth Dennis. Garth Dennis is someone who's very famous in reggae music because he worked with more than one group. He worked first with the Wailing Souls and then with Black Uhuru and then later on with the Wailing Souls again. And he grew up in Trenchtown on 3rd Street, where, you know, reggae music history really started and began. And he's someone that I met here in California. And I even had the opportunity to travel a couple of times to Jamaica and visit Garth's father. So I met his father in Jamaica. But Garth is someone who is very humble and very kind and very knowledgeable and also very conscious artist who only liked to talk about positive things and only say good things. And I met him in, Jen Jay and I talked about this the other day. It was in the year 2000. I met him at a show in Long Beach where he was not performing, but he was a member of the audience and he was watching his sons perform. Blaze Mob was performing on the stage that night. And that night, I believe they were shot. Saeed was 13. Jossie was, maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe Saeed was 11. Because I think, Jossie was 11. Saeed was like 13. Shaka was 15, something like that. They were teenagers when I met them. And I was there in the show watching them with Garth right beside me. You know, we were both enjoying the performance and I had no idea who he was at that moment. I didn't know he was Garth Dennis. I didn't know he was the father of Blaze Mob. I didn't know any of that. And he was just humble and just enjoying himself and vibing with the music. And I was really taken with him later when I found out that's who it was. I'm like, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah. You know, I know a lot of times some of the best cooks, especially in Jamaica, are the men and a lot of musicians.
For sure.
Did you get a chance to partake and eat any of the food of any of the people you worked with, and in particular, Garth Dennis?
I can't remember a time that Garth ever cooked for me. No. I'll tell you that Bushman has cooked for me, Chinna has cooked for me, and so has Dakai, and they're all great cooks.
Hey, but see, I was hitting it right. I didn't know that you didn't get a chance to take a part of that, but I have fun stories
About Garthy cooking for you. I'd like to hear that sometimes.
Cabbage. I mean, my favorite dish for him was cabbage. He really to make good cabbage. I think he added onions and carrots, but whatever it
Sure.
was, I was always looking forward to eating it. And he had other little things that he could make, but that was my favorite.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yes. So, did you do any recording with Blaze Mob and Garth Dennis, or did you have any? Oh, this is a
We did more shows. I think I have helped with Blaze Mob's recordings, not as much Garthy's. I helped to promote Garth's album that was called 19 Third Street, that he released a few years ago.
And this picture we're looking at now is Garth Dennis with his sons when they were little
When
bitty.
they were young, yeah.
Right, Chaka and Jossie. Wow.
That's a happy picture. I love it.
Yes, that's a happy picture.
He was a very proud father. He was most proud of his sons and their music. He, when I was around, wanted to talk about that more than he ever wanted to talk about himself or his career or his music. He was very interested and looking forward to the future for Blaze Mob all the time.
What about Ross Michael and the Sons of Negus?
All right, so I worked with Ross Michael and the Sons of Negus for a few years. And I booked quite a few shows for Ross Michael, and I was able to travel with him on some of those shows, and it was an amazing experience because Ross is really part of the foundation of reggae music and history in Jamaica. Ross was one of the first to ever have a reggae radio show on the air in Jamaica. I think that was like 1969 or 1970. He had a show on the air. He's a legend. That's all. He's a legend. He's a legend of Nyabingi. He's the only one who really does that style and was really successful at it.
Foundational, that he's found definitely foundational.
Absolutely. And so for me, being able to work with someone like that was a really a true honor, and I felt happy that he trusted me, and I felt happy that he allowed me to do business for him. He's very old-fashioned. He was very old school. I don't know what else to say. Very, regimented in the way that things should be done. And Ross was amazing to work with also. He had very high standards for his band. They needed to rehearse a lot. They needed to practice a lot. He expected a lot from the musicians that worked with him, and I don't know what else to say about Ross, but he's amazing.
Wonderful, and I thought maybe we had music of his. I'm not sure, but we're going to keep moving on. How about Hayley Mascal, which we knew him here in
Hayley
LA.
Mascal is an artist also from Jamaica who's never really became super famous, but he is a great lyricist and he has great songs. He worked with a band called the Rastafarians that were pretty well known here in California and in Santa Cruz and in California back in the day, in the early days of California reggae. I think Rastafarians were,
I'd like to say that the Rastafarians were so instrumental in laying the foundation of reggae music in Los Angeles. So fundamental, because there were so many. I mean, you had Mascal, you had Shakaman, you had Big Dread, you had I can't remember
Lester.
everybody.
Lester was it?
Lester, yes, I believe Lester Farai, yes. Did I say Shakaman?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
Shakaman had a store on Slauson. Remember that, Mashariki?
I remember him. Oh, was it Slauson? I remember where they had the trampoline and Shakina would be turning flips and practicing on her gymnastics every day.
Yeah, that was West Boulevard.
Yes, well, so I don't
That's
remember the Slauson part.
around the corner from where Aziz lived. Hi, Aziz.
Aziz. Hi,
Aziz.
Aziz fell asleep. Wake up, Aziz.
Don't know how to chat on this thing. We can hear
Okay.
you.
We
We
see
can
you,
hear
Aziz.
you. See.
Hi,
Can you hear
beautiful.
me?
Yes,
Yes.
we can
Oh, okay.
hear
I didn't know. I was just listening. I thought I had to type it in. Hi, y'all.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, what's I'm his sorry. Name? He moved back to Jamaica and had his own studio, light skin dreadlocks. What was his name?
Swalele. Was he part of the Rastafarians too?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
So, this may be a good, excuse me, ladies, this may be a good time to mention our panel here this evening.
Uh-huh.
I wrote the names down. Is it Carlos and Catherine?
Marco.
Marco and Catherine. All right, we got Marco and Catherine. Oh, I wrote it. Here it is right in front of my face. And then
This has been absolutely fabulous. And I would like to say that Bushman was up here at our back house where we are right now, because we have termite tenting on our main house. And he was a long time ago. I don't know what year it was, 2008, something like that. Bushman was up here making some music. And you're all fabulous, loving all of this so much.
Beautiful. And then we have an iPhone person that we don't have a name, but we just mentioned the young lady. It has Lynette on here, but Mashariki and
Sinja. That's Aziz.
That's Aziz.
And then we have Amaris.
Amaris.
Amaris. Okay. Amaris.
Chico
who's
Star.
Whose other name is Chico Star. He's one of the artists Chico that I work Star. With.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Miss Marjo's, godson.
Chico Star. Hey. Oh, my God. It's adorable.
And then we have Stephanie Williams, and then we have Kevin O'Neill that just came on. So that's our panel so far. We might have more coming. Okay, I'll let you guys get back to it.
Okay, so moving right along. Another thing I want to say about Haley Mascal is working with him. He really had beautiful harmonies. He really tried to hook up the harmonies for the different music. Everybody didn't have that, still don't. And it was always a pleasure even just to hear his music. I haven't heard it in a long time, so it would be great. You know, is he still performing?
Yes, Haile is still performing. I did a show with him in May. We did a Mother's Day show at Ivan's in Laguna Beach, and it was beautiful. And Haile's married to a lady named Angela. Angela also sings. She's a beautiful singer, and she sang harmonies with him, and it was fabulous. And what I want to say about the Rastafarians is that they only did one album ever that I know of. And they had a long career in music, you know, playing music and doing shows, but they didn't do a whole lot of recording. I think they just caught up in the business of touring and doing their shows and whatever other businesses they did to make money and live. They never got to record very much. But Haile is an excellent songwriter, and he's got a lot of great lyrics. Mm-hmm. And we are currently working on a book of his life and a book of his song lyrics that we hope to publish next year.
That's wonderful. That is really wonderful. Tell us about Quinto Sol and what you have coming up soon.
Yeah, so Quinto Sol is a band from East LA, and they are Chicano, Latino young men who have been playing reggae music for about 30 years. And their band, Quinto Sol, is very well known in Los Angeles and the East LA area. They sing reggae and cumbia, and they fuse different styles and fuse in some Spanish lyrics, and they also do reggae cover tunes. They also do backing work for artists. They recently did backing this year for Yellow Man and also for Sister Nancy on a lot of shows. They are excellent musicians. And
Don Carlos, too. They backed Don Carlos, too.
Oh, sure. They've backed a lot of artists. They've got a long list of backings that they've done, just like Detour Posse. They were right behind Detour Posse. Anybody that, you know, Detour couldn't back them, Quinto Sol came along right there and took the show. Anyway, September 18th, we're doing a show with Blaze Mob and Quinto Sol at the Santa Monica Pier. It's a free show. The whole event starts at 3:30 in the afternoon and goes till 10 o'clock at night. The reggae music portion that we're doing will start probably at about 7 o'clock. And so I hope that people can come down to the Santa Monica Pier to hear Blaze Mob and Quinto Sol on Thursday, September 18th.
And is there someone else on the show besides the two of them? Did I see another name? Here we go. Here's the flyer.
I don't know. I think there's a DJ. You got to forgive me. I don't have my glasses on. I can't read the name of that DJ, but it's Blaze Mob and Quinto Sol. And I guess it's DJ Junior Francis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it looks like they're going to have a lot of other things going on up there. The
yeah, car show, activities for kids, lots of things.
So even though the music is not starting till late, there's a lot to do between 3:30 and 7:30 pretty much.
Right, right.
How about Barrington Levy? So oh, wait a minute. Let's stop. We're going to hear a little bit of Quinta Soul.
Oh, okay, cool.
Nice. And this has been one of the acts that you've been working with for a while also.
Yeah, sure. I've booked a lot of shows for Quinta Soul over the years. I really love working with them. They are always willing and able to work. They're easy to deal with. They show up on time. They do their thing. They're super excited to play music at any opportunity that they get. So I've had them play events that are big and small, and they've come out to schools and done some educational events at schools for me. Yeah, I really, really, really enjoy working with them.
Mm-hmm. And how about Gregory Isaacs? You got a chance to work with Gregory Isaacs?
I did have a chance to work with Gregory Isaacs. It was on one of his last tours and last shows that he did before he passed in 2010. Gregory Isaacs was an artist that came from Jamaica, and Detour Posse backed him. Mm-hmm. And it was through my relationship with Detour Posse that we got to be hired as the backing band for Gregory. And we did, 10 or 15 shows with him. And he was always very humble and very kind and very generous with us. And I really loved working with Gregory Isaacs. And again, he was a legend in reggae music from the beginning. So for me, it was like super big honor to work with somebody like that. Like I thought he was, you know, some just super famous, got kind of starstruck to meet him, but he wasn't like conceited at all. He was super humble and always really kind and nice and down to earth and just like a regular person.
Mm-hmm. Now, a group that I'm not real familiar with is Ginger Roots and the Protectors.
Ginger Roots and the Protectors are two young men from San Diego, Chase Brokaw and his brother Spencer. They are singers and songwriters, and they are young, and they have only been doing this for a few years, but they fell in love with reggae music. And they started recording and working. And Chase went to Fully Full Woods Reggae Sundays once a few years ago, and participated in a contest that Fully had where people could come up and sing Peter Tosh songs or Bob Marley songs. I forget which one it was. And he sang a song and the audience voted. There were 10 people that competed, and the audience voted that he was the best singer of the day. And so Fully gave him a prize. The prize that he received was to record a song at Fully's studio. And when Chase went into the studio and recorded with Fully, I think Fully really fell in love with Chase's spirit and his songwriting abilities and his vocal capabilities. And he said, man, you're an artist we need to work with some more. And they have now recorded a full album that they're getting ready to release. And Chase went down to Jamaica and stayed with Chynna Smith for a month and really got the infusion of reggae myelitis in his blood that he needs to make a strong impact in the music. And anyway, I've been his booking agent and booking him for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. And they're an act that I have high hopes that they're going to do lots of great things.
So you mentioned that, you know, they just decided to start playing reggae music a couple of years ago. Were they already playing music of some sort, even though it wasn't reggae prior to this? I mean, were they playing their own instruments, maybe a different
type? Sure. Chase plays guitar and his brother Spencer plays percussions. Mm-hmm. And they were doing that, I believe, since they were young, playing mm-hmm. all different kinds of music. But they fell in love with reggae and started recording it just a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward. I saw that there was a flyer. Was that a pass?
That was a pass flyer that we did, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, nothing coming up soon for them.
They perform all the time in San Diego and Encinitas and Solana Beach. Mm-hmm. They were just this last weekend at Sea Lakes and Huntington Beach. So yeah, they perform a lot, mm-hmm. and they're at local venues. Mm-hmm. You can check them out on Instagram and see where they're playing.
Sure. How about, is it Malaysia?
Malaysia. Malaysia is a singer from Jamaica that I have worked with on a few projects. I've helped him promote his album called Dancing Shoes that he put out in 2012 on the Spanish record label that's called Reggae Land. Mm-hmm. And he's someone that I made friends with actually in Earl Chinna Smith's yard at Inity Yard. Malaysia was a young man who was there hanging out, learning about music and learning how to play his guitar and learning how to be a songwriter. And he's somebody that also I see a bright future for. He should be coming up in the music business.
And speaking
he of, is in Kingston, Jamaica.
Speaking of Chinna Smith, how did you first begin working with Chinna, and what type of business or music creativity were you able to expound on?
Okay, well, I was introduced to Chinna by my friend Jen Jay, who's here on this call with us. She knew him for years and they were friends. And he was here in Los Angeles, 2000 something, I don't remember, recording an album with Ziggy Marley. And he had some issues. There he is. There's Chinna. Had some issues with his guitar that he needed to get fixed. And I helped him out to do that, and he and I became friends through that. And I think he already knew that Jen Jay called me the Minister of Information, and he asked me to help him get some things done, and I did. And so then he started calling me his manager. I don't know.
So a lot of people on the call or here may not know who Chinna Smith is. Can you give a little bit of his background?
Sure. Chinna is a famous guitar player for reggae music and the whole industry because he started early on in late 1960, early 1970s. He played guitar with Bob Marley. He played with Jimmy Cliff. He played with, I don't know, Peter Tosh. He played with Dennis Brown. He played with all the, he's recorded on 75% of the albums that have received Grammys in reggae music over the years.
Was it Rolling Stones that had him down as the guitarist or the top 100 guitarists or top 200 guitarists?
He's in their list. He's in Rolling Stones' list. He's in Guitar Player Magazine's list of, you know, top 50 guitar players in the world or something like that. He's amazing. He's got an amazing catalog of music. If you go look him up on any of the websites that list album credits, he's got a list so long we don't have enough paper to print it. Like, it's just his catalog is so big you just can't even imagine. And he's recorded with artists that are not reggae artists. He recorded Lauryn Hill's Miseducation of Lauryn Hill album that's very famous. He recorded with Amy Winehouse. He recorded with Joss Stone. I can't think of, some jazz artists he's recorded with, some country western artists. He's a highly sought after guitar player in Jamaica. When people come down there to record, they want him to go in the studio with them and put his touch on their tracks.
And Rasha Key, before you play this, he has a current project that this particular song, Homegrown, came out of. Can you talk a little about his home project? In a yard?
Sure. So he's recording albums in the yard acoustically, and it's called In It A Yard. And he also does something right now that's called the Bingistra, that is a combination of Nyabingi music and he's put an orchestra together to do it, and they feature just a variety of different singers and songwriters, but he's really focused on the natural authentic sound and the Nyabingi sound, and the acoustic sound more than plugging in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And the public knows it's mine. If you come over to my place, Kingston, Jamaica, I'll give you a taste. Memory won't erase from your mind.
So that's just a little bit of a song of his own, but sticking to the whole reference of acoustic, of using acoustic music and playing live music, and him having different people come in and join in from all over the world. Have you had an opportunity to be a part of that?
I have. I've been at his house, in his yard many times. The last time I was there, a little over a year ago, the Bingistra performed in Negril on the beach at a place called Woodstock. Mm-hmm. And I was there for that. And Bushman was there for that too. And it was great because Chinna was singing that night and he'd had a cold and his voice was a little bit hoarse. And when his voice was hoarse on the microphone, he turned and looked at Bushman, who was backstage, and Bushman just came out and ended up taking the microphone from him and singing his song. I think that one that you were just playing, Bushman sang it for him. So because Chinna's voice was hoarse. So that was a highlight for me because I got to see two artists that I love on stage sort of spontaneously.
Mm-hmm. Do you do any type of booking of Chinna in the United States or any place? Or
I do, and it's been a little while since we've done that because Chinna really loves to be at home in his yard. He's traveled a lot all over the world, and he still loves to travel, but he's just not as interested in touring as much. But yes, I book for him. If somebody calls to book a show, they're going to call me.
Mm-hmm, very good. And talk a little bit about your booking company. What's the name of it?
Paraiso Music.
Mm-hmm. And how long has that really been in existence? Because I know you've been 30 years and counting, but
about 30 years, yeah.
So that was the beginning name of your start?
Paraiso Music, yes.
Oh, wow. Was there a particular reason why you used that particular name, and what does it mean?
Yes. The first slogan was something about paradise and something about if you can't go to paradise, we'll bring the paradise music to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, paraíso was the Spanish word for it. I don't know. It's something along those lines.
Yeah, because it sounds like that's what you've been doing.
Yeah, thank you. In English and Spanish.
Hey, that's a pretty much half of the world, or more than half of the world.
Right? Right.
Yes, yes, yes. Ross Donovan.
He was known in music as Ross D. Ross D was a Jamaican artist who lived here in California, and I worked with him booking some shows and helping him promote his musical works. Mm-hmm. And he passed away in 2015. But he was also an artist and also a chef. You talked about food earlier. Mm-hmm. He also had a jerk sauce that he made, and I helped him to organize that business and promote his jerk sauce and do some pop-up events for that. Mm-hmm. And he was someone who also taught me a lot about business and marketing and making an impression on the customers. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful. I feel like I learned a little bit of business and a little bit of things to do, and sometimes I learned what not to do through the artists that I work with.
Of course.
Yeah.
Best example in real time.
Yep.
Okay. Overall, looking at it, I mean, it looks like you don't plan on slowing down in your involvement in the music. Do you have new plans, new adventures besides the Santa Monica Pier on September the 18th?
So I booked a series of reggae shows at Ivan's in Laguna Beach over the summer. Mm-hmm. And I am hoping to book some more shows there for the coming months. I am also, I currently make a living working in the cannabis industry. And so it's always my goal to find ways that I can bring reggae music and the cannabis industry together to do. And so I'm finding events where we can book reggae artists at cannabis things, and in California now, because the cannabis industry is so huge. Mm-hmm. And all the dispensaries are looking to do different things to make them stand out. So I'm approaching dispensaries and brands to find ways where we can have events where we can have more reggae artists.
Mm-hmm. As of right now, are there any venues or large facilities that both can exist legally?
There are some outdoor venues, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that in LA County?
There, you know, in LA County, I'm not sure. There's one in San Diego. There is a dispensary and a lounge that's called Sessions by the Bay. And they haven't had any reggae there yet, but they have had music there. So I am negotiating with them right now to get a reggae night at Sessions by the Bay in San Diego. There are lounges in Palm Springs and in Riverside County, but I'm not aware of any just yet in LA. If you hear of any, let me know, because I want to book there.
Are you familiar with the Woods?
I am familiar with the Woods, but they don't do live music.
It seemed like, I guess they have to have a permit for that, but
everything's
like that now. Okay. Do you have any favorite wonderful stories you would like to share with us? A moment that, you know, you'll just touched your heart? I'm sure there were several, but just one that really stands out.
There's one I can talk about right now. Catherine was with me when it happened, and it was in 1988 when we saw Black Uhuru singing at Bob Marley Day.
So memorable.
They were singing Free Nelson Mandela. I don't know if that's the name of the song or not. Yeah. Jen might be able to tell me. But
Free Nelson Mandela. It touched our hearts. I remembered it forever. It was so momentous. Right?
And powerful.
Our African brothers. It was powerful, where we remembered it. It absolutely touched my heart. Yes.
For sure. You would say that was that aha turning point where that.
It really was. I remember that at that show, we bought the Now album. It was probably like a cassette tape or something. I don't even know.
It was a cassette,
a cassette tape. And I got a poster with it. I got the Now poster, and I had that on my wall for years in our apartment. And I used to look at it and think about it and remember that concert. And then later in 2000, I got to meet Garth Dennis, and he was that man on that poster on my wall. And so that was like super exciting for me.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Garth Dennis, I don't think we played any of his music. Can you share with us because it seems like your heart, your relationship with the whole Dennis family still exists. So that's more like family.
Oh gosh, Garth has a couple of songs that I love. He has a song called Marijuana that I love. He has a song called Slow Coach that I love. Slow Coach is a song that has a great history too, which I feel like Jen could talk about it better than I could. Anyway, Garth has an album called 19 Third Street, and I really love that, and I recommend for everybody to listen to that. And there's a great history for Third Street in Trenchtown, Jamaica, of all the artists that came from there. Joe Higgs was one of them.
Joe Higgs and Margil have the same birthday, if I may interject.
That's true. We do.
Wonderful. And I saw that you at one time where you had a reggae TV show on PBS. Can you share a little bit?
Friend Rich DeMaio produced a reggae TV show, and the two of us together worked hard to organize it and promote it and get it on PBS. On a PBS station in Riverside County that was called KVCR. And maybe 3 or 4 seasons, we had shows that were being shown on the PBS station out there. That was super exciting. He did 30-minute interviews with artists and little highlighted features. And he needed help, meeting the artists and getting the interviews set up. And so I helped him do that. I'm very proud of it. Right now, it's not being shown on PBS anymore, but it is on YouTube. Okay. And people can log on to Reggae TV 420 and watch those shows. And there are new shows being produced right now to go up on YouTube also. And a project that I was super proud of.
So you said they would go to YouTube and just go to Reggae TV 420, the number, and they should be able to pull up some of the past.
You got it.
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. You were saying you were doing the Summer Acts and Ivans. Can you give us a little bit describe how Ivans and Laguna Beach is and the acts that you've been able to bring there?
Ivans is a very nice club in Laguna Beach that promotes live music, and it was built by a musician, Ivan, who was very important to him that they had a really good sound system and that they had really good lighting and stage. They have a Hammond organ on the stage that musicians can use, and the reggae artists always seem to love that. And it's also right on PCH. It's got a beautiful view of the ocean. And when you're there at sunset time and you can see the sunset over the ocean right there in Laguna Beach, it's a pretty magical experience. They've got a lovely restaurant attached to it that's called Mozambique. They have fine dining food that's kind of Mediterranean California cuisine, and it's really good. Their food is excellent. Nice ambiance. It's a great place to go to hear music. They have live music there every night of the week, but on Sundays they do a Trinidadian steel pan from like 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and then they do reggae music from 7 to 10 every Sunday night.
Is that like with Einstein on steel pan?
Einstein is one of the steel pan players that they use, and there's another gentleman also, but Einstein is there every other Sunday. And he's amazing. If you've never seen Einstein, you should come out and check him on a Sunday afternoon.
Yes, we look forward to going to see him and maybe having him here. Such a busy.
Oh yeah, he'd be a great guest on the show too. Sure.
Yes, he would.
He's a major force in the California reggae community as well.
Yes, that's true. Any best moments of you know, you gave the history of the connection. Once you got involved. There's something, a funny moment, something that, you know, you're in it now and you just had to just take a laugh, a chuckle.
I don't know. We've had a lot of funny moments over the years. I can't think of a particular funny moment right now. What I do want to say is that we've talked about all these artists that I've worked with, and one of my most favorite artists and one of the artists that I'm most proud of right now is Chico Starr. And he is my godson, who is from San Pedro, California. He was born in San Pedro, and he's never been to Jamaica yet, but he was exposed to all the artists that I worked with, and he was exposed to all the music that his parents and I listened to, which was a variety of eclectic different sounds. And growing up listening to that, I think, has influenced him now to become a musician, to become a producer, to become a singer and a songwriter. And he's put out, I don't know how many songs, a lot of songs in the last few years. And some of them have been really successful. The one that I shared with you is called Up It Back. Mm-hmm. And I'm super proud of that. And every time I hear it, I can't stop dancing.
And we're going to listen to it now.
Back it up, back it up, back it up. The body wind up, make it lovely. Back it up, back it up, back it up. Me sip, little drunk, now she want me. Back it up, back it up, back it up. One more cup till I'm nauseous. Back it up, back it up, back it up.
All right. And I think, Catherine, that's the proud parents over there.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Shouts to my mama. She made good sense. Good job, Amara.
Yeah, let's see. Do we have a picture, Rasha Keys?
Isn't he here?
Oh, yeah, he is here.
He's on the call, but I don't know.
He's on the call, but he's not showing his face right now.
Is he here still? There he is.
There he is. All right, live and direct. Uh-oh, you're on mute.
I'm here.
Are you on mute? Oh, there you, there's Chico. Hi, Chico.
Hello. Thank you guys for playing it. That was fun.
That's awesome.
So now we get a chance to ask you a few questions since you were one of the few artists in
that. All right. All right, sounds good.
What attracted you or pulled you into reggae music as your way of creativity?
Oh, man, it's tough, but the first thing that comes to mind is Ninja Man. He had this song called Jamaica Town. It was a Ninja Man song, and it was so crazy. And actually, it's off Spotify now. They took it off, but that one would play like on the reggae music channel, and it was so good. And I had that one on repeat. So I think because I like that kind of like reggae dance hall. I always like the dance hall style stuff. So yeah, that was a lot of fun amongst many other things. But that's just the one that comes to mind immediately.
And were you playing an instrument? You play an instrument, right?
Yes, but honestly, like mainly I'm producing. Mainly I'm doing stuff on the computer, doing the production side, and then also like vocals. So, I mean, I can play some stuff okay, but I'm not like a whiz at any one instrument. More so I like the part about putting it together, and then like I'm a fan of like electronic sounds and making stuff sound real.
Hey, Chico, can you give us your Jamaican accent? Tell us something you said real good.
I can give you my, yeah, I'm on. And I can give you my boss I left, boss I right, to boss I left. Oh, shoot. Well,
thank you so much for sharing your music. It sounds exciting. Much success in your career and endeavors.
Thank you. Thank you very much. If you guys ever want another guest, I'd be more than happy to come on. Sounds great. This is fun watching.
You have your band, right?
Well, the band is mainly me, but I've got people I collaborate with, yes, but okay, it's not okay. Anything really consistent. More so it's me. I'm the band, really, you know, okay, but then collaborations happen.
Until you go out and play live, unless you're going to just all electronic.
He has performed live on the stage with Blaze Mob as his band.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yep. How did you like that?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, and it was cool to hear the stuff that I had put together done again with the live band. It gave it so much flavor. It was very fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, yeah.
Thank you, guys.
About what you're doing, please keep us informed with your reggae music endeavors.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Margil.
You're welcome. And I don't know. I think we should open up now if anybody wants to ask questions or say something or inquire. I want to reiterate once again that at the Santa Monica Pier on Thursday, September the 18th, starting at 3:30 in the afternoon, ending at 10 p.m., and we'll show the flyer at the end. Margil's show is being featuring Blaze Mob, DJ Junior Francis, and also Kento Soul. Is that correct?
Yep, you got it. Thank you. They're
going to have a lot of other things. It looks like a car show, vendors. So even though the music doesn't start until 7:30, there's a lot going on up until that time.
And it'll be a beautiful sunset that night right over the pier.
Oh, that's right. And it's free.
We like free. And kids can come.
Kid friendly. That's a big thing, too. Children friendly.
Bring your children.
So I look forward to seeing everybody out there and sharing this to more people. I remember the concerts being out there in Santa Monica, and it's good to know that it still goes on because since COVID, a lot of things have changed.
Is Aziz still on the call? Oh, there you are. Aziz, were you singing with Black Uhuru in 1989 when we saw you at Long Beach Arena?
Yes.
You weren't you?
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. That was
so. Aziz was part of the group that night, and Catherine and I were blown away by reggae music that night, and now we're all here today. So
you made a very
thank you, Aziz.
We remember that forever. Thank you so much.
Talk to us.
I know, Miss Aziz. Now that we have you on and asking questions, and can you share a little bit of your participation in reggae with the Wailing Souls and Black Uhuru and so forth and so on? And who are you?
Now, see, I didn't even expect to be on here doing all this. See, I'm sitting
it's up okay.
here with a broke leg and pain and hunger.
No.
Ah.
Somebody come take care of you. Leave your number in the chat.
Yeah, my daughter's sending some food over here for me now. Jinja is the one that's pulled me into reggae. I had no idea about reggae until, what's his name, Jinja, when you saw him in New York?
McGregor,
yeah.
Freddie McGregor.
McGregor, she just, oh, I gotta turn you on to this. and then after that, it was on and popping, and I was turned lost and turned out. And JJ always enjoyed my vocals. I didn't know reggae, but I would sing all the time, so she would always want to put me on blast and introduce me to Garty and everybody, and that was the start. She helped lay the foundation because I just like to sing all the time, and so she just put it to good use and introduced me to the brothers, and they liked my voice, and it was the audition, and it was great experience, honestly. Even singing with Cincy, the backgrounds and the professionalism of the band, the long rehearsals that we would stop for lunch, take a break, and go right back to rehearsal. That to me is what made Black Uhuru sound so authentic and so good, because we rehearsed and I could have my mind in LA talk, thinking about my kids and not miss a note. So that experience was wonderful. So
I
still practice that same discipline when I'm singing with others, that we must rehearse, we must take time, make sure we're blending, and also having a good time and right along with those in the audience. But it was a great experience, honestly. All of the 90s, I was with Black Uhuru, Garci, Don, Ducky for the time period, and then others that I have sang with, what's his name?
Andrew Tosh,
and the brother that I first used to love all his music from the Canyon. What's his name that passed on?
Boom Shaka.
Oh yeah, Trevi.
Boom Shaka, child. I was in the front with their t-shirts on, and he was like, "Oh, you singing with me?" So I watched him with him too. I love Boom Shaka. Good mugga. So. My traveling to Jamaica, all over Jamaica, it was just the best. It was the best. And Jen J was my road dog. I was hers and she was mine. So that's how I came on the scene. I met Mashariki and Jen J at the same time, 1979.
Wow.
1979.
We've been friends for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, even though I've taken different routes with my life and my voice, I still enjoy reggae and I still respect the thought of the different artists and what they've contributed to the culture. Absolutely. And Marjo, you've just been the best too, honestly.
Thank you. Thank you, Aziz.
And I mean, that was a massive what do you call it? A massive
undertaking
list of all the things that you've done. I mean, we couldn't stop. Sound like we still had stuff to talk about.
Memoir. Thank you, Aziz. Thank you.
That you invested in. You know, it's a good thing. So
just hearing you right now talk about discipline reminded me that was something that I didn't talk about in the. And I think about Bushman. I think about Chinna, I think about Garthy, I think about Ross Michael, and these are all people that are, you know, they work super hard, and they are super disciplined in their music, in their diet, in their exercise, in their religion, whatever it may be. They are super disciplined, and that discipline helps to take them far.
Yeah.
So it's something that I've learned too, and I like to try to teach younger people about it so that they will also try to have that discipline in whatever it is that you're doing, to be disciplined about it, and it will pay off.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you all. I mean, I had no idea about this, and I just happened to see it pop up, and I was like, oh, let me hit on this.
So, I'm so glad you did.
I was overwhelmed. I was like, wow, listen, all this knowledge here coming across. So
that was very enlightening. I love the reasoning. Thank you very much, Miss Margil.
Good vibes to you all. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why she is the minister of information. Just recognize that that is her title.
Word.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Jen J gave it to me, and I wear it proudly. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Love you all.
One love.
One love.
So, do we have any music we can just listen to from the different artists?
Well, we may have a few more. I want to hear from Jen J some.
Okay.
We haven't played a Blaze Mob song yet either. We have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's my
wait for a minute.
MJ, while I'm teeing it up.
Okay, well, Blaze Mom are my sons. Well, I should say our sons, Barty and I. And they have been making music for as long as I've known them, really. Mashariki can attest to it. And Aziz can attest to it. We used to sit around and watch them pretend that they were Garth and Don Carlos and perform. And the fact that they're going to be performing on at Santa Monica here in
your voice is fading.
The fact that they're going to be performing at Santa Monica Pier in September, they began performing out at Venice Beach when they were 2, 4, and 6.
Yep.
Yes.
Full circle.
Full circle moment.
Yes. And they used to love it too.
Go play it. So jump or find a way for all your night. So jump or find a way for all your night. So jump or find a way for all your night. And I trust that we don't need no blind up. So jump or find a way for all your night. So jump or find a way for all your night. So jump or find a way for all your night. And I trust that we don't need no blind up.
Nice.
You know that sound like Black Uhuru, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's
one of their major influences.
The way my son, that particular son, slurs, to me, sounds a lot like Don Carlos. The way Don Carlos would slur.
Yeah. When I see Jossie and Shaka dance, their dance style reminds me of a Black Uhuru video.
Yes, they've come a long way. They have some new music out. They're working with the new producer,
Mike.
That's being works with the Tuff Gong. This music is being distributed by Tuff Gong, so they've been getting a lot more play on the joint on Sirius. Although Margiel started them off on a Sirius XM, Blaze Mob music on Sirius XM. Recently, they've been picked up again. So, you know, we're looking for, they're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's keeping them earnest, close to their father, and makes me very proud. Rastafari, yeah.
Excellent.
So you know what? I want to go to the panel. We had a few people leave, but we still have a few here. So let's go to Stephanie Williams. Stephanie, are you unmuted?
Yes, I am. And I've been
a question or a comment for Margiel? Well,
yes. Well, I just have a comment about the show in general. I love reggae music. I was not an avid follower, or hadn't been an avid follower, even though I love it and appreciate it and enjoy it. So it was wonderful to be able to listen to the discussion this evening and learn more, you know, about the history and a lot of the musicians that made this genre possible and brought it here to California. So I just want to thank Mashariki for inviting me this evening. I really enjoyed it.
Wonderful.
And just thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for Stephanie coming. And also I have another sister on, Miss Queen Shamala. We are part of a writing group called the Saturday Morning Literary Workshop. And we have an anthology book of groups of stories that we've all contributed to that we're pretty much winding down to be able to release it, finish the publishing, printing, and release it for others to share in it. So Stephanie, thank you so much for tuning in. And also Queen, I don't know if you're still with us.
So we only have two other people here. So we're looking at Brother Mashinda, question or comment? He's a part of the Fab Five that's with us almost every time we come on every week.
No, I don't have anything. I'm just enjoying the show, you know, very enlightening and entertaining. And, you know, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for sharing tonight.
Thanks for coming. And we have Kevin O'Neill. Kevin? How you doing, Kevin?
I'm fine. Good evening. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for coming. Question or comment?
Oh, man, I have so many things that are running through my head, you know, and the last podcast that I went that you made on the subject where Barbara Verdina was there, you know, I had tons of questions for her as a promoter. I will say that as a backdrop, you know, reggae music continues to be crucial in a lot of ways because that whole area there is what you might want to call, for us Americans, a middle passage, you see, and where the spiritual depth and the musical depth is that is going to help us survive these coming times. A lot of them are in our beautiful countries that we're dealing with that, you know. I mean, I like Cuban music. And the Cuban music posse are very educated in how they handle their music. You know, the government took their training of the musicians seriously. However, it's not as connected because they are mostly in Spanish, you know. So when we have our beautiful reggae music and we have, you know, the awareness of Ja Rastafari and that to be so strong, it's really wonderful. So really, I have a question for you and some of the people here is, how do you think the teachings or the spirit that is in reggae music that is being, you know, that is still very crucial now, how do you think that's going to help prepare us for the coming times? Because we are in a time in the U.S. So I'm just curious as to your opinions on what you think about that.
Margie?
Well, I think about reggae music teaching us themes of things like discipline and themes about things like being self-reliant. I mean, not just reggae really, but Rastafari in general, and self-reliant and being disciplined and being knowledgeable about what's going on in the community and what's going on in our world, and being conscious of your diet and some of those kinds of things that are in reggae music are things that are going to help to prepare us for the coming times.
Can I add on to that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, please.
I think that the whole concept of one love in a time that we're living right now is more important than anything else that's happening right now, that if the masses of the people do not lift up in love in one voice to fight off all of this demonic stuff that's going on, that's the only thing that we have as human beings that we can fight with. We cannot put up guns and weapons and things like that. We would never win that. But coming together with the vibration of love, the frequency of that on such a high level, will overcome all of this craziness that I
absolutely
feel dealing with in the long run.
They are trying to divide us, and our one love vibration and our one love community will unite us, and there's unity in that strength. I definitely believe that. I love that you brought that up. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mashriki.
Excellent point.
I was just watching a video the other day about regarding reggae music in essence in specific reggaeton. Now, reggaeton, the essence of it is dancehall music, is young people. It's not the roots, it's the dancehall. And the themes are the same as the original reggae music, talking about the suffering of the people, coming together under the music, dancing, one love, and having a good time. And as I sit and watch this documentary, all the rhythm are dancehall rhythms. It's so interesting because I'm going to have Tony Chin come to be our next guest. And he was Tony Chin with Soul Syndicate set some of the rhythms that they're still listening to today, like the bam bam rhythm with Sister Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that they set that rhythm, Margiel?
I did.
Mm-hmm. And Sister Nancy just has a documentary that just came out about her. And this is a rhythm they said back in the
60s.
What? Late 70s, early 80s. And it's still popular now. So this reggae music is going to take us far. Bob Marley did an interview and they asked him about reggae music, and he said, this music is going to keep going on and going on and going on until it reaches its right people. And that's what it's going to do. It's going to just reach us all together. We're just going to be, it's like the Pied Piper, you know, we're just going to hear it and just follow it. Because it's clean and not, you know, not. The dance hall is a little different, you know, there's young people, but you know, they got to do their thing too. With the roots, the whole essence of it, of one love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the strength of the roots with that drum and bass and rhythm guitar. It's nothing beautiful than that to me. And I can't stop hearing that. And then also it's a inspiration to be better than what you are and to keep striving for that. That's what it means to me. It's a part of my being, J-I-N-I-B-N, you know, that force, that strength. And it's a beautiful thing. And I think if people sit down and listen to it, they could really feel it. They'd have to take out a little time with it.
Yeah. That's the far right.
Yeah.
Thank you for addressing that.
And what do you think, Mr. Kevin, about your question?
Pardon me? Say, once again, please.
And what is your take on that question you just asked us?
Oh, it's so many things. I agree with everyone that's here, you know, that they bring out, you know, it's multifaceted, like many colors in a rainbow, and you ask what's your favorite color, you know. I do know that with reggae music and whatnot, and the best of Afro Latin music that encompassed in that are devices and chemistries for being able to deal with the unfairness of being in this new world, you see, and some of the unfairness that we see, call it what you want, call it, you know, a certain ism or a certain politic, the Republicrats or the Democrats, you know, that thing itself continues to grow strong and reinvent. And you know, the price of peace is never paid. It's always due. And trying to get above our minds and our spirits, above that, to be able to have our young people have something they can grab onto that is more so connected to that, is crucial. And in that sense, the world would not be the same without reggae music, and people knew new and old are coming back, because we do have some nice recordings, and because we do have nice festivals that are going on, you know, currently, they're going to have some place to turn to for the musical vibrations and the musical spirits that are there. And that's very important. And it's also, if I may, to me, it's very important because we are dealing with so much AI. We are dealing with so much artificial intelligence, and in our music that is made from the bottom up, from, you know, it couldn't have been made without a computer. I always give an example. Let's say if you like to, you know, if you have a thought that you would combine traditional Palestinian music and musicians with traditional Israeli musicians, if you were to try to put that together in the real, that would not be so easy, you know, especially, you know, messing with people's tradition like that. However, with the use of AI, you're able to sample this and sample that and put them together and then put whatever you want on top of it. It's also tricky, you know, a lot of times with us musician types, we think about, you know, who's going to support us, if we're going to make it, you know, it's going to catch on. And we never mention the names of the actual people, of the actual gangsters. We just think it's success. But there are real people and real systems that are behind it. I have so much respect for someone like Barbara Berbino, being a promoter, and there are many promoters. And what I find is that reggae music, at its best, it somehow remains to be a voice of the people. It's not just a voice of the people who claim to be the machine, but that are behind it for success or failure, that those that are spiritually connected and who are musically connected, they are soldiers, they are warriors. And they keep coming. And that's so important, because the price for peace is never paid. So there's always something new that is due, and especially for young people. So I'm just very, you know, very thankful to God that there is reggae music and people continue with it, you know?
Well, Sister Marjell, I am so thankful that you really graced us with your time this evening.
Well, I'm so grateful to be invited. Thank you.
Yes, looking forward to seeing you at some of the concerts.
Me too. It was very nice to meet you. Yeah. And I thank you, Mashriki, for taking time to talk to me and help me to think about some of these stories that I hadn't thought about for a while.
And, you know, from the list of all the different acts that you work with, we went over everyone except for one, and that was Jamarc and the Soul Shakers. And if you don't...
So, Jamarc is an artist who is originally from Jamaica, is born in Jamaica, mm-hmm. And he migrated to California, you know, I don't know, in the 80s probably. So he's been in the California reggae scene for a long time with his band, the Soul Shakers. They've recorded a number of albums. They've performed at a lot of events. And I've probably been booking him for about 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. But he's an artist that I have booked a lot at some corporate events and parties and things like that. And people really enjoy his music. It's definitely roots reggae music. He has a 9-piece band with a horn section and backup singers, and they are really powerful. They also played for me at Ivan's this summer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are looking forward to more great things with them as well.
And as you said, I know Ivan's and Santa Monica Pier and some others, you mentioned corporate gigs. What are those?
Oh, so a lot of times, you know, big corporations are having a party for their sales team or a party for an annual Christmas event or something like that. And just because of some connections I've made over the years, I get called for a lot of those events that they want to have a reggae theme or they want to have a reggae party, you know, for some reason. So I get called for, and a lot of people call me for booking weddings. they want to have a reggae band play at their wedding. Jo Mark has done that for me a number of times. Mm-hmm. So I get called for a lot of things like that because I've put my name on a lot of those lists for wedding event registries and things like that. So it's how we get a lot of work.
That's right. That's right. And I think we're going to be able to hear a little bit of Jo Mark and the Soul Shakers now.
Bringing the people together with music. Bringing the people together with love.
Yes.
That particular song has a video that goes with it that I helped to organize and produce that video, and my nephew did the filming and the editing for that video.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing all of your stories and history, and it's been really wonderful. It's been a learning experience because a lot of it, of course, I didn't know. And of course, to say 30 years, congratulations.
That right
there is the most incredible part of it. I wish that you keep it up. And I look forward to seeing you all in Santa Monica on the 18th of September.
Awesome. I'll look forward to seeing you.
Do you have that picture ready?
And if I may, will you please, Ms. McFadden, accept my sincere thank you for your dedication to being a promoter and keeping all this stuff going.
Thank you.
More people than you know, more people than you see.
And, thank you.
And will you please continue to let me and us know what you're doing and how we can support you? And please know if you ever have, you know, I'm still a little bit active doing some things out there, and that if you ever decide to come to something that I'm involved with, you are my honored VIP guest.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I would be overjoyed to see you. I would probably have to keep my cool on or something like that. So thank you for your hard work. A lot of times the people behind the scenes are not the ones on the album covers, and you don't know, but I know that that we are nothing without you. So thank you, and just please know that I'm interested in what you're doing, and you know, come and be welcome anytime if you see my name on something. I would just love.
Thanks, to. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Okay. Well, this has been another exceptional show. And looking forward to doing more.
Thanks for making it happen.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody for coming.
We'll look forward to logging on for your next one.
All right.
That's right. All right.
Take us home, Ms. Jen J.
Well, listen, we want to say, in the name of everything good, continue to have positive energy. And until our next podcast, stay Irie.
Irie. Thank you, Jen J.
All right. Bye.
Bye.